Well, hey there, how are you today? I hope your Monday was great. This is episode 369 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. We have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Also, I try to average about 10 minutes per show. Lately, most of the shows have been running a couple of minutes long, but I honestly do have that in mind. Today, we're continuing in the book of 1 Kings with chapters 3 and 4, and we'll use the God's Word translation. Let's begin. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon became the son-in-law of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. After marrying Pharaoh's daughter, Solomon brought her to the city of David until he finished building his own house, the Lord's house, and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were still sacrificing at other worship sites because a temple for the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Solomon loved the Lord and lived by his father's rules. However, he still sacrificed and burnt incense at these other worship sites. King Solomon went to Gibeon to sacrifice because it was the most important place of worship. Solomon sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. He said, "What can I give you?" Solomon responded, "You've shown great love to my father David, who was your servant. He lived in your presence with truth, righteousness, and commitment, and you continued to show him your great love by giving him a son to sit on his throne today. Lord my God, although I'm young and inexperienced, you've made me king in place of my father David. I am among your people whom you have chosen. They are too numerous to count or record. Give me a heart that listens, so that I can judge your people and tell the difference between good and evil. After all, who can judge this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. God replied, "You've asked for this, and not for a long life, or riches for yourself, or the death of your enemies. Instead, you've asked for understanding so that you can do what is right. So I'm going to do what you've asked. I'm giving you a wise and understanding heart, so that there will never be anyone like you. I'm also giving you what you haven't asked for, riches and honor, so that no other king will be like you as long as you live. And if you follow me and obey my laws and commands as your father David did, then I will also give you a long life." Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. He went to Jerusalem and stood in front of the Ark of the Lord's promise. He sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings and held a banquet for all his officials. A short time later, two prostitutes came to the king and stood in front of him. One woman said to him, "Sir, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a son while she was with me in the house. 2 days later, this woman also gave birth to a son. We were alone. No one else was with us. Just the two of us were in the house. That night, this woman's son died because she rolled over on top of him. So she got up during the night and took my son, who was beside me, while I was asleep. She held him in her arms. Then she laid her dead son in my arms. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, he was dead. I took a good look at him and realized that he wasn't my son after all. The other woman said, 'No, my son is alive. Your son is dead.' The first woman kept on saying, 'No, your son is dead. My son is alive.' So they argued in front of the king. The king said, 'This one keeps saying, my son is alive, your son is dead, and that one keeps saying, no, your son is dead, my son is alive.' So the king told his servants to bring him a sword. When they brought it, he said, 'Cut the living child in two, give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was still alive was deeply moved by her love for the child. She said to the king, 'Please, sir, give her the living child, please don't kill him.' But the other woman said, 'He won't be mine or yours. Cut him in two.' The king replied, 'Give the living child to the first woman. Don't kill him. She is his mother.' All Israel heard about the decision the king made. They respected the king very highly because they saw he possessed wisdom from God to do what was right." 1 Kings chapter 4. When King Solomon was the king of all Israel, these were his officials: Azariah, son of Zadok, was the chief priest. Elihoreph and Ahijah, the sons of Shisha, were scribes. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was commander of the army. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Azariah, son of Nathan, was in charge of the district governors. Zabad, son of Nathan, was the king's advisor. Ahishar was in charge of the palace. Adoniram, son of Abda, was in charge of forced labor. Solomon appointed 12 district governors in Israel. They were to provide food for the king and his palace. Each one had to supply food for 1 month every year. Their names were Ben-Hur, who was in charge of the hills of Ephraim, Ben-Deker, who was in charge of Maacaz, Shealbim, Beth-Shemesh, and Elon-Beth-Hanan, and Ben-Hesed, who was in charge of Aruboth, Succo, and the entire region of Hefer. Ben-Abinadab had the entire region of Dor. Solomon's daughter, Tathath, was his wife. Baana, son of Ahilud, had Taanach, Megiddo, and all of Beth-Shean. This was near Zarethan, below Jezreel, from Beth-Shean to Abel-Meholah, and over to Jokmeam. Ben-Geber was in charge of Ramoth-Gilead. He had the settlements of Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, in Gilead. He also had the territory of Argob in Bashan, 60 large cities with walls and bronze bars across their gates. Ahinadab, son of Iddo, was in charge of Mahanaim. Ahimaaz was in charge of Naphtali. He also married Solomon's daughter Basemath. Baana, son of Hushai, was in charge of Asher and Aloth. Jehoshaphat, son of Peruiah, was in charge of Issachar. Shimei, son of Elah, was in charge of Benjamin. Geber, son of Uri, was in charge of Gilead, the territory of King Sihon the Amorite and King Og of Bashan. There was only one governor in that territory. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate and drank and lived happily. Solomon ruled all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the country of the Philistines and as far as the Egyptian border. These kingdoms paid taxes and were subject to Solomon as long as he lived. Solomon's food supply for one day was 180 bushels of flour, 360 bushels of coarse flour, 10 fattened cows, 20 cows from the pasture, and 100 sheep in addition to deer, gazelles, fallow deer, and fattened birds. He controlled all the territory west of the Euphrates River, from Tifsa to Gaza, and all of its kings. So he lived in peace with all the neighboring countries. As long as Solomon lived, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived securely, everyone under his own vine and fig tree. Solomon had stalls for 40,000 chariot horses. He also had 12,000 chariot soldiers. Each of the governors provided food for 1 month every year for King Solomon and all who ate at his table. The governors saw to it that nothing was in short supply. They brought their quota of barley and straw for the chariot horses to the proper places. God gave Solomon wisdom, keen insight, and a mind as limitless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than all of the eastern people and all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was wiser than anyone, than Ethan the Ezrahite, or Heman, Chalcol, or Darda, Mahal's sons. His fame spread to all the nations around him. Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. He described and classified trees, from the cedar in Lebanon to the hyssop growing out of the wall. He described and classified animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. People came from every nation to hear his wisdom. They came from all the kings of the earth who had heard about his wisdom. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, as chapter 3 begins, we see a couple of things that could be of concern. First is Solomon's marriage to Pharaoh's daughter. Jews were not supposed to marry non-Jews, or they might draw them away from God. Many scholars believe that she must have embraced Judaism. Also, some think that this is the bride that Solomon wrote about in the Song of Solomon, which we read in episodes 287, 290, and 293 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. The other thing that was not quite right was that he was offering sacrifices at places that were not officially sanctioned. The reason given is that the temple had not yet been built, but it would have been better if he'd gone to the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, which is what David had done. Solomon seems to be given a bit of latitude, though, because he truly did love the Lord and he followed David's rules, which were, of course, based on God's law. Now we see that God loved Solomon by what he did for him. God asked him in a dream what he could give Solomon, and of course, Solomon's answer was the best possible answer. It demonstrated his love for God and the children of Israel. He asked for wisdom so that he would be able to lead them well. And God was so pleased with this that he gave Solomon a supernatural wisdom plus riches and honor, with a promise that if he continued to obey his laws and commands, he would give him a long life. And it's interesting to see what Solomon did when he woke up from his dream. He went to where the Ark of the Covenant was and offered sacrifices there. Next, we see a demonstration of Solomon's wisdom. As we read the account, we look back and say, well, yeah, that was a very insightful thing for him to do. But put yourself there without the benefit of knowing how the story ends up. What a quandary that was! And imagine the horror of everyone there when he asked for the baby to be cut in half. I'm sure everyone was horrified, except the woman who was lying. Solomon knew that the true mother would never let her baby be killed like that. So we're told that Solomon was wiser than anyone. How marvelous it must have been to have a king with such wisdom. What do you think? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 369.lifespringmedia.com. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in seeing some of the pictures that Leanne and I are taking on our little vacation, my Instagram is _stevewebb_ and my Facebook is steve.webb. Stop on by and take a look. Tomorrow we'll finish up the book of 1 John. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.